This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
True crime fans will love Crime House True Crime Stories, a Crime House original podcast. Every Monday, you'll experience the most notorious true crime cases from that week in history, all linked by a common theme, from serial killers to disappearances to unsolved murders and so much more. Follow and listen to Crime House True Crime Stories, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Crime House Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
May not feel like it outside, but spring training is upon us. And the boys are down in Florida doing their thing, popping the mitts, swinging the bats. So let's check in with our good buddy Danny Vietti, CBS, MLB, and the Believe Network as well. Danny, as we get ready to start spring training, where would you rank our Atlanta Braves here in the pecking order in the National League right now?
You know, I came with optimism today. I came with, you know, there's something in the air today about the Atlanta Braves because, you know, I'm looking at depth charts and obviously in spring training, everybody's healthy. Everybody's in the best shape of their life and everything looks good on paper, at least for most teams, with the exception of a few. But you look at Atlanta's lineup and I was a little bit bullish on them as the offseason went on and I was like, okay, this lineup, as long as they can stay healthy, they'll still be able to keep pace with the Mets and the Dodgers and the other nationally dominant teams. It's just going to come down to starting rotation. And I still think that holds true. But then they went and added Jerickson Profar. And I'm not saying that Jerickson Profar is going to win the 2025 National League MVP. But the addition of him and having his ability to play seven positions defensively, having him give a little bit more protection to the top of that lineup. He sees as many pitches as anybody in baseball. So even if he's not an all-star OPS batting average guy, he's always going to work a professional at bat. And so I look at this Atlanta Braves team right now, and I look at that lineup, and I look at what their actual batting averages, actual OPSs were last year, and you compare it to their expected batting average, expected OPS. And I'm feeling very confident about this Atlanta offense in particular. It's just going to come down to whether their starting pitching can keep them in ballgames.
I agree with everything you just said, but I need to add one caveat, and that is the potentially under-the-radar subtractions of Joe Jimenez due to injury and A.J. Minter going to the Mets and them not replacing them in the bullpen. They're counting on guys like Pierce Johnson and Aaron Bummer, Daisbell Hernandez, Dylan Lee, guys that have been used sparingly in high-leverage situations, more in times of when their other guys needed blows, to bridge the gap to one of the best closers in the game in Rossell Iglesias. Do you share that concern about the back end of their bullpen?
I absolutely do. My counter argument to that would be that we've seen in recent years front offices almost treat their bullpens as if they're trying to find lightning in a bottle, guys, for the first couple of months, and they're trying to figure out, okay, who's hot? And then, like, for example, with the Dodgers last year, their bullpen struggled for half the season. They didn't have Blake Treinen. He was injured for the first half of the year. They really didn't have a closer. At least their closer, Evan Phillips, was not performing the way that they had hoped. And all of a sudden, trade deadline came, and Treinen got healthy, and they acquired Michael Kopech at the deadline, And it seems like that's what front offices are doing in treating bullpens now. It's, okay, first couple months of the season, 3 months of the season, let's figure out who's hot. Okay, they're going to be part of our bullpen. Now let's look to the trade market and let's figure out who we can acquire and let's actually attach labels to certain players in our bullpen for, let's say, a bridge guy. Let's say an eighth inning guy. Okay, we got a closer here. So, yes, I share that concern. I just personally believe in Alex Anthopoulos and these top GMs to be able to put together a bullpen as the season wears on. It doesn't concern me to the utmost degree if their bullpen's not intact day one.
All right, some other MLB headlines now as we whip around the league with our good buddy Danny Vietti. Check him out on his socials. The Red Sox had a really good offseason, in my opinion, with the additions to their starting staff, and now they just bring in Bregman. But seems like there may be a little bit of controversy with Rafael Devers coming out and saying that third base is, quote, his position, and we know Bregman's a Gold Glover there, and is the plan to play him at second. What do you make of this?
I think I want to hear that out of a player. You know, you want to hear kind of a little bit of arrogance, in a good way, a humble arrogance, if you will, although a bit of a paradox. But I think, look, Devers has been there. He's got the extension. He's the face of the franchise. You want to hear that from a face of the franchise saying, look, this is my position. I'm not going to have anybody come in here and just kind of take it from me. So I think they're both pros. Both guys have been in the league for a decade now, or at least close to. Both have won World Series championships. Both know what it takes to win World Series titles. I'm not concerned about it. I think Alex Cora, he's shown the ability as a manager to keep that culture intact. Everything I'm hearing on the Red Sox side of things is that they are committed to winning. They're committed to spending money, which has not always been true, at least over the span of the last, you know, 4 or 5 years or so. There's been concerns and there's been questions of whether the front office is actually willing to spend with the Yankees and with the Dodgers and with the big spenders. And at least evidently this offseason, and they tried the last, they're trying to hang in there with the big guys. So it doesn't worry me. The American League East worries me more than the Devers-Bregman situation worries me.
When it comes to the New York Mets and the NL East situation, we found out that one of their offseason additions, Frankie Montas, is going to miss an extended period of time with an injury to an already short rotation. I know they re-signed Alonso and they brought in Juan Soto for whatever it was, $1 billion. But Danny, are they actually better than they were a year ago? I mean, just overall depth, especially in that rotation, is really short.
The rotation performed better than expectation last year. So I think that's really the only concern when it comes to the Mets, because they built their rotation this year similar to how they built it last year. Last year, nobody expected the Mets to really be a playoff team, let alone an NLCS team. And all of a sudden, they got hot at the right time, and they're starting pitching outperformed expectation. It concerns me a little bit in that you can't always hit lightning in a bottle every single year when it comes to starting rotation. You need innings throwers. Like, the perfect example I always come up with is Jordan Lyle. A guy had been in the league for a decade plus, and his career ERA is 5+, and he's actually got, if you depending on what qualifier you put on it, he's got one of the worst earned run averages of any starting pitcher in Major League Baseball. And people question, like, why does Jordan Lyles keep getting contracts? Well, you need guarantees. You need a guy that's going to take the bump every single fifth day when you're playing a 162-game season. You want to know what you're going to have. And when you build a rotation like the Mets had the past couple of years, you're kind of flipping a coin. You're hoping that these guys take the hill every fifth day. You got Kode Senga, who's coming off the injury, and they hope. They had hoped to get him back for the playoffs. Obviously, the timeline didn't match up. So it worries me a little bit in that it seems like their rotation is built with a lot of coin flips. And the way that coin flips work, yeah, it's typically a 50% shot, but there is always that chance of tails every single time. So that's my biggest concern with the Mets, is just whether their starting rotation is going to be able to hold on for 162 games.
The team that knocked out the Braves last year, are the Padres going to be able to replicate what they did last year?
The culture right now is not great in San Diego, and that's my concern. The talent's still there, and you're getting 1 year older with playoff experience, Jackson Merrill. Jackson Merrill is a 30-30 contender, maybe even 40-40 contender. That's the talent that this kid possesses. I think he was 21 years old last season as a rookie and had one of the highest clutch rates in baseball. So they're getting another year of Jackson Merrill. Manny Machado, still productive, even though he's lost a bit of a step in the field. Xander Bogaerts was injured last year. He looks to be healthy this season. Fernando Tatis started the season injured last season, looks to be 100% this season. I still think they're very, very talented, but the concern with ownership, a little background on that for those that don't know, is that the late owner, Peter Seidler, his now widow wife and the family, the Seidler family, there was a battle basically over custody of the team. It's since been settled at this juncture, but I think it got settled so late into the off season that it seemed like there were a lot of question marks about how much ownership was going to be willing to spend on free agents. And it seemed like they were so late into the game, they just signed like Yuli Gurriel this week, and they're kind of getting some more B-level players at this point. But it seems like they were so late in the direction that they wanted to go that just the culture from the top to bottom concerns me about San Diego. I think the talent is right there with the best teams in the National League. It's just I just wonder if the culture and the late start to the offseason is going to derail things.
Talking with our good buddy Danny Vietti. Check him out at CBS and Believe Network for all the baseball content. Check him out on socials as well. All right, Danny, a couple of big picture questions before I let you go. Had an interesting discussion with some of my colleagues here about sort of the state of the game and the have and the have not situation. And one of the hosts that I was working with made the argument that, hey, I mean, the Yankees have only won one World Series since 2009, and the Red Sox finished last every other year, and the Cubs finally won, and the Guardians got to a World Series. So parity does exist in the sport. And I say that's all good and well, but you have a good 8 to 10 teams every year that you know that just have absolutely no shot. The Marlins and the Reds and the Pirates and teams that, you know, maybe have a little bit of a bump once every 10 years like the Pirates did with Andrew McCutchen back in the day, or the Reds when they were rolling, you know, 10, 12 years ago. But I'm worried that it's going to lead to a big problem for Major League Baseball down the road for the disparity between the have and the have nots in that regard being the way that it is right now.
Yeah, hear me out on this. I hope it does. Because that is the only way that we're actually going to get changed. That is the only way that a salary floor or salary cap will ever even be brought up at the next CBA negotiations. If we do indeed have a talent difference amongst the haves and the have-nots. Because if we constantly see, like the examples that you just gave, Cleveland Guardians, and even before the A's moved away, back when they were in Oakland, they have historically been one of the lower payrolls in baseball. But if you look at win percentages, Oakland did not have a hard time competing every 4 or 5 years. They were putting a competitive team despite having a low payroll. Obviously the most famous example being the Moneyball team. But I hope we do start to see the haves start to have a little bit more and the have nots start to have a little bit less, because the only way that we're going to get change is if the problem enhances. And I know that it's going to upset people. The product of baseball, unfortunately, will have to suffer if we want to see a salary floor or a salary cap. And it could get ugly before it gets pretty.
We saw the NHL do a wild experiment this weekend. We saw the NBA do another experiment this weekend. Major League Baseball's All-Star Game, Danny, is often regarded as the best in sports because it's the closest and truest to the game. But how do you feel about the state of the weekend in general, where the All-Star Game is, participation in things like the Home Run Derby? How do you feel like the state of all that is with a lot of the other sports being in flux?
Yeah, I think if we're if the bar is the NBA All-Star Game, I mean, it's the best product in sports, because the NBA All-Star Game is at least something to be desired, to say the least. And
yeah.
I mean, the Pro Bowl for the NFL, I mean, it's just non-existent completely. The NHL does a really nice job with their skills competitions. It's very entertaining. I think what baseball has in its favor when it comes to All-Star Game is you still have to deliver a pitch. You know, like you can't, unless this thing goes to a slow pitch softball game, you still have to do all your mechanics correctly in order to throw a pitch over the plate and get a strike. In order to make contact with the ball, you at least have to go 80, 90%. With the NBA, you can coast at 50% and score points when there's no defense. You can play at a 50% speed, maybe even less than that, and be comfortable and at least look like you're playing a basketball game. Football is a little bit different. It's more so because of injuries. Baseball, you have to play 75, 80% to even play a competitive baseball game, or at least look as if it's a competitive baseball game. So I think that's what baseball has in its favor, is that the bar minimum is higher than that of, say, the NBA, NFL. Not so much hockey, but definitely those other two sports.
All right, Danny, appreciate the time as always. We'll talk to you again as regular season gets underway.
All right, my man. Happy baseball season to you.
All right.